Hello, America.
So I don't know if y'all seen it, but that coronavirus is spreading all over the world. At first it was in China, then it went to South Korea, then it went to Italy, and now it's done somehow hopped on an airplane and flew over here to America. So right now I'm going to show everybody how you can properly prepare yourselves so that you will not get the coronavirus. Now I know the professionals are saying, oh, all you need to do is wash your hands and make sure you don't put your hands near your face or your mouth. Oh, really? How is that going to stop one of them coronavirus zombies from walking up to me, coughing in my face, that coronavirus going in my mouth, down my trachea, and into my lungs? It can't. That's why you need to don the proper protective gear so that you will not get the coronavirus. Now, as you can tell, I am wearing a coronavirus-proof suit with a clear message on it that says, stay back 10 feet. And that goes for everybody, all right? Everybody, my grandma, my mama, everybody. I don't know who's got the coronavirus. And that's also why this is very important. This here is my corona stick. When somebody starts walking up to me, I will stick the stick out like this. And once they touch the tip of the stick, that's as close as they can get right there. Because that right there gives me enough distance to where if they cough, their coronavirus droplets will not make it into my mouth. Now, if they keep trying to walk, that's when you need to take back. You need to get back. That way they'll know you ain't playing no games, all right? I will beat you with this stick if you keep trying to walk toward me, okay? My personal health is at jeopardy. You don't get near me. You stay back. Now, I also got my gloves here. Now, I don't wear no rubber gloves, all right? Them germs can't get through no leather. That's why you need to wear leather gloves. Now, this here is my most important part of my whole coronavirus suit. This is my ventilatory system. Now, a lot of people think that you can just wear one of them regular old surgical masks, but that don't work. Them coronavirus droplets are small, and they can get straight through them masks. But you know what the coronavirus can't get through? Plastic. And it can't get through my ventilatory system right here either. See that right there? That's Bounty paper towel rolls. Nothing can make it through a Bounty paper towel roll without getting caught. Now, I've also got my disinfectant spray on each side of my ventilatory system. That way, if I'm walking alone, and somebody walks up towards me, and they start a coughing, I can spray my disinfectant in there and kill all them droplets before they get anywhere near me. Now, as you can tell, I've also got my disinfectant sprays in my holsters here. It is very important that you always have enough disinfectant spray, and you might not always be able to get to the ones at the top of your helmet. So you need to practice with these disinfectant sprays to make sure you're as quick as Wyatt Earp pulling them things out your holsters. Let's say I'm walking through the grocery store and somebody sneezes. And that right there, ladies and gentlemen, is how you keep yourself safe from the coronavirus. God bless y'all. I love you.
All right. Well, there you go. There's your introduction to keep yourself from getting the coronavirus. You have to make sure you got your stuff on, all right? Make sure you're covered. Make sure you're protected. And there ain't nothing better to protect you than some good old-fashioned hillbilly ingenuity. I'm telling you, there ain't nothing better than hillbilly ingenuity. You need to remember that. Nothing. That's right. Telling you, man. You just go try to buy some toilet paper right now. You can be in some trouble. Jenna is quarantining her own self. Well, I don't know. I do not know. I'll tell you what. It's getting crazier. I mean, here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing. Could you imagine? Well, let me just show you. I'll show you from my Facebook post here. Let me see here. I'll read you what I posted earlier a few minutes ago, just a few minutes ago. Here's what I said. By the way, I tried the new Facebook. This is the new Facebook look. I kind of like it. Kind of like it a little bit. All right. So, basically, I'm going to put this broadcast on here live. I better. There we go. Here's the thing. I just put this on here. I just want you all to know that someone somewhere just got the coronavirus. Someone got the flu, got a cold, and AIDS, and all kinds of other things. Can you imagine if they informed you every time someone was sick? Well, now you understand the hysteria. Every time someone gets this coronavirus, it becomes a national story. Well, here's the thing. If you keep doing that to people, then guess what's going to happen? You are going to drive people insane. And that's what they're doing right now. They're literally driving people insane. They're driving this hysteria. I'm not saying people aren't sick. I'm not saying people aren't going to get sick. What I'm saying is they're driving people insane. They're making people go loony. You know, they're making them do that. And the reason they're making them do that is the constant exposure, you know, somebody else in the world just got it. And they're trying to cause such unrest with everything by saying somebody close to Trump just got this. And somebody close, it's like saying, hey, everybody, guess what? Somebody just got bronchitis. Well, we know. You know, we know that that's what they're doing. Well, anyway, let's see who's on here. Andrea's on here with morning sickness. Okay. Puking good for you, Andrea. Let's see. The Authorized Mike. Kayla. Jacob Terry. With the Protestant Christian flag. It's not a Baptist flag, by the way. I'm one of those Baptists that doesn't believe you should have any flag. But anyway, that's me. Well, I just want you all to know the Miami mayor is infected. And to make matters worse, Trump just declared a national emergency. Brother. So there you go. They've got the Trump to declare a national emergency. Complete shutdown on the table. This is so ridiculous. President Trump plans to declare a national emergency. Well, we'll go to... Here we go. Here it is. President Trump plans to declare a national emergency on Friday over the coronavirus outbreak to invoke the Stafford Act to open the door for more federal aid for states and municipalities, according to two people familiar with the matter. Trump is under increasing pressure to act as governors and mayors nationwide step up actions to mitigate the spread, closing schools, canceling public events. The president said he will hold a news conference at 3 p.m. in Washington. The move would allow the government to marshal additional additional resources to combat the virus and also make a symbolic turning point for the president, who has reportedly compared the coronavirus to the seasonal flu. Well, that's what I think it is. Anyway, the U.S. A bad one, yeah. U.S. stocks paired gains on the news with the S&P up about 2%. Well, great. Okay. It'll free up $42 billion in funding. So all the states can have plenty of money that we don't have that we borrow from China. Isn't that great? Only a few emergency declarations for public health threats have been made since the 1960s, and only two tragedy targeted disease outbreaks when President Bill Clinton in 2000 declared emergencies in New York and New Jersey in response to the West Nile virus, which were all, in my opinion, foreshadowings of what they're doing now. Okay, anyway. So, all right, Jesus is Lord is on here. Mary's on here. Teresa Darrell's wife is on here. Carl, the alias Carl Winters. Nehemiah Joseph. Let's see. Lisa. Big Whale. All right, so here we go. Jacob, I don't care. I'm just giving you a hard time. I don't care. I don't care about the flag. I'm just giving you a hard time. Let's see. Oh, of course. All money's contaminated. Everything is. So we have to move to a cashless society. Well, so Trump decided that he's going to declare a national emergency, it looks like. Okay. Well, here we go. Is this fun? No, I actually hate it. I absolutely hate it, to be honest with you. It's just annoying. It's a bunch of nonsense that people are going to mass hysteria that people are going to absolutely make worse by all this. They're making it worse. You know, it's just, it's kind of nonsense. It just is kind of nonsense. Let's see here. I want to show you some things, though, that I thought were rather interesting. Now, this guy's video is pretty funny. This was meant to be a joke, obviously. But it was funny. I just hate it because I know what it does to people. I know what it does to people. And you know what? People are going to get sick. And I don't like that. I feel sorry for them. You know, and it could be us. But the thing is that I don't think it's much different than the flu virus that knocks people out for 2 weeks. I think it's another strand of it. But, you know, I don't know that. Excuse me, I'm not a doctor, but one thing I do understand is it's in the nature of the same thing. But what are people of faith going to do about it? You know, what are God's people going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Which is a good question. You know, maybe this is how Carl Winters sees the no-eyed laws being enacted. Maybe that's what Carl's hoping for, is that finally the no-eyed laws will be in place. But I wanted to show you some things on a serious note here today. Well, sort of serious, obviously. But I did want to show you a few things.
Okay.
I want to show you, in the UK, we've got around 2 weeks to prepare for a lockdown. It's just ridiculous. It's called sickness, right? That's what it is. Now, I want to show you something here that I thought was pretty interesting. And I think it's interesting because of who it's connected to. That's why I think it's interesting. Here's why I think it's interesting. What a bunch of junk. In around 2020, a severe pneumonia-like illness will spread throughout the globe. Let me get this. I think that's the right one. There we go. Now we don't have to see any perverts. Late psychic's words. Sylvia Brown was a psychic. Wrote in a 2008 novel that a severe pneumonia-like illness will spread throughout the globe. Around the year 2020, little did she know how eerily prophetic it might become. However, 12 years on from the prediction, conspiracy theorists have taken to the work of fiction to find an answer and are now claiming the author's words prophesied the outbreak. As the world rushes to slow down the progression of the illness, which has been declared as a pandemic by the World Health Organization, some claim the late self-professed psychic foresaw the virus in her book, End of Days. Now, here's what I thought was interesting. Here you have Kim Kardashian, right? You have Kim Kardashian that talks about this. She actually promotes this on her Facebook page. She goes, oh, my sister just sent me this. She said, my sister just sent me this. In around 2020, severe pneumonia-like illness will spread throughout the globe, attacking the lungs. This is from a psychic. Remember, we're not to regard familiar spirits. Not to regard them that have familiar spirits. Spread throughout the globe, attacking the lungs and the bronchial tubes and resisting all known treatments. Almost more baffling than the illness itself will be the fact that it will suddenly vanish as quickly as it arrived, attack again 10 years later, then disappear completely. Huh. How about that? Kim Kardashian, who has sent the author's work, right? Here's her. Here's what she said. Courtney just sent this in our group chat. So why is Kim Kardashian, why does she have psychics? Why are they all working with psychics? Think about that for a second. And Kardashian is like, well, you know, let's look at who this Sylvia Brown is, right? She was an American author who claimed to be a medium with psychic abilities. She appeared regularly on television, radio, including the Montel Williams Show and Larry King Live, and hosted an hour-long online radio show on Hay House Radio. Brown was frequently discredited and faced criticism for making pronouncements that were later found to be false, including those related to missing persons. She was also a convicted criminal, having faced theft charges in 1992. Despite the considerable negative publicity, she maintained a large following until her death. Well, yeah, most devils do, right? Sylvia Brown grew up in Kansas City, Missouri. Right? She had a Jewish father, relatives of all faiths. Brown claimed that she started seeing visions at the age of 5 and that her grandmother, who she claimed was a psychic medium, helped her understand what they meant. Brown also claimed her great uncle was a psychic medium and was rabid about UFOs. Brown started to give psychic readings in 1974. As of 2008, she charged $750 for a 20 to 30 minute telephone session. In 86, she founded a Gnostic Christian church in Campbell, California, known as the Society of Novus Spiritus. She was also the head of Sylvia Brown Corporation, Sylvia Brown Enterprises. She made $3 million a year. Think about that. Now, she got a lot of those wrong. You know why? Because a lot of times they do get a lot wrong. A lot of times they do. Why? Because the devils trick them. Oh, I know. He was on this. Let's see. Where was that at? Let's see if Kuntz's book is on here. Let's see. I think. Paul Bridge, you just said I thought I was a psychic before I realized it was the Most High talking to me, or was a computer code, a matrix demon? No, I think you're a troll. That's what I think you are. I think you're on here to try to stop what I'm doing here, and I think you're going to go away. There you go. Gone. Goodbye. And they are witches. So, this is Sylvia Brown. This is who she is. But don't you wonder why Kim Kardashian is involved? No, because Kim Kardashian is a witch. See, I think with Kanye West, I think what you have is black magic and white magic. But I think Kanye brings the appearance of white magic. Kanye brings the appearance of white magic. And actually, because of opposites, Kim Kardashian is the black magic. Or the appearance of it. That's what I believe when I watch them, when I see what they're doing. They all have psychic mediums. They all, like, if you look at what Kim Kardashian, she goes and she sees Justin Bieber. like what Alex Jones calls him. Oh, it's so funny. Does anybody remember that? Oh, this is the best. I think this is it right here.
Look, when you realize how fake it all is, the football, the basketball, the Lady Gaga, the Justin Bieber, you know, who gives you these carbon tax messages. They tell your kids they got to love Justin Bieber, and then Bieber says, hand in your guns, pass the Cybersecurity Act, and, you know, the police state's good, and then your children are turned into mindless vassals who now they look up to some twit instead of looking up to Thomas Jefferson or looking up to Nikola Tesla or looking up to Magellan. I mean, kids, Magellan's a lot cooler than Justin Bieber. He circumnavigated with one ship the entire planet. He was killed by wild natives before they got back to Portugal. And when they got back, there was only like 11 people alive of the 200-and-something crew, and the entire ship was rotting down to the waterline. That's destiny. That's will. That's striving. That's being a trailblazer, an explorer, going into space. Mathematics, quantum mechanics, the secrets of the universe. It's all there. Life is...
The secrets of the universe!
Fiery with its beauty. What are you doing in this time of great challenge? What are you doing to unlock mine? Unlock your human potential! Defeat the globalists who want to shatter your mind! Your doorways to perception! I want to see...
Whoa, hello, doorways of perception. A little bit of Huxley going on there. A little bit of demonic stuff. Oh, boy.
You truly live...
I want to see you truly live. Open your doors of perception. Not Justin Bieber. Oh, there's something good about that on a Friday. I don't know what it is, but it just is. Oh, I remember. Okay, so I remember one time, literally, I was with somebody, and we were on a long trip, and we were listening to Alex Jones rants. And I literally, and I'm not kidding you, like, I don't even think I'm exaggerating, I laughed so hard, I almost peed my pants. And I'm not kidding you. It was that funny. Okay. We'll just go ahead and get rid of weird people now. We're going to get some spooky folks on here. I'm just telling you that. When you start talking about Justin Bieber, you're going to get weird people on here, okay? You're going to get weird people. But you can't say, none of you can say that it's not fun listening to Alex Jones rants. Nobody can say that. And Carl, I'm telling you right now, as sure as I'm sitting here, Carl, I know you had your Alex Jones moment. You probably had Alex Jones boxers, man. You probably had Alex Jones t-shirts. You probably had Alex Jones stickers, Carl. Kayla asked me, have I seen Alex Jones's DUI conspiracy? Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's a conspiracy or not, or if the dude was just drunk. I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know. You know, I don't. But Kim Kardashian knows. She knows where the real witches are, right? All these psychic detectives. Brown married four times. Her first marriage from 1959 to 72. Wow. In March of 2011, the Society of Novus Spiritus, the Gnostic Christian church founded by Brown, announced that she had suffered a heart attack on March 21st. The Society of Novus Spiritus. Everybody, Carl, everybody had an Alex Jones moment in the Truther movement. It's almost where you start. Everybody does. I shouldn't have cracked the joke. I didn't mean to be about the about the Alex Jones box. I should have said that. But I was just kidding. But I shouldn't say that. But anyway. Whoa. Look at that. You want to talk about some straight up witches, man. Look at that symbol. Holy buckets. Look at those eyes. Sylvia's monument to God with no fear, no guilt, no sin, no hell, and no Satan. Whoa! Look at them demons in them eyes. Reminds me of a preacher when I was out with the one time. Man, I wish I could find that video. One of our street preachers. Get that guy away from me. He's got demon eyes. Get that guy away from me. He's got demon eyes. Remember that, Jacob? Whoa. Who thinks this lady's possessed? Or was? She's in hell. Wow. The Society of Novus Spiritus invites you to join in our weekly celebration of the Spirit. What Spirit? We offer these gatherings to anyone seeking their spiritual roots, looking for the meaning of life, or wanting to be with people who seek to live within the guidance of the light. Oh my. We gather on Sundays and are open to public free of charge. Well, of course it's free of charge. Why wouldn't it be? Oh, my. Oh, my. A prayer chain? Who are they praying to? A sermon by Sylvia. Oh, that had to be interesting. So they believe in reincarnation. Heaven, paradise, nirvana. Oh, so wicked. The other side, her home, is a very active place full of loving, learning, and laughing. Like, what authority does she have to say all this? What authority? Simply put, reincarnation provides the means to experience many lives in pursuit of the perfecting of the soul. Oh my. It's just literally a bunch of witches. A bunch of witches. Holy buckets. Could you imagine getting counseling from that witch? Oh my goodness, would that be creepier than all creep. These prayers would be more like incantations. Dear Mother and Father God. Oh, you witch. Wow, this new spirit of enlightenment. Blessed be this queen on high that is sacred to all who come to her. Oh my word. I mean, literally, this woman is praying to the queen of heaven, which is Satan. Oh, my. Well, there you have it. This is her, okay? What's that got to the coronavirus? Well, this lady had a bunch of devils in her and figured out that by 2020, they showed her that something was going to go down anyway. Wowzers, right? Amazing. Now, well, let's go on to some. So that's Kim Kardashian. That's what she said. That's Kanye and Kim, right? Two witches still practicing witchcraft. Still practicing the same old stuff. Nothing's changed. They just got the deception better. They're just better at it now, right? So that's the second or third or fourth or fifth thing about witchcraft that she's really done. That Kim Kardashian has really done. That she kind of continues to do, really. So her husband claims to be a Christian, right? And I don't know what Kim... Well, Kim was just baptized, so she claims to be a Christian too. Well, if it isn't the trolls. Authorize Mike. Take him out. Authorize Mike. Boom! Destroy them, Mike. Let them fall by their own devices. Don't you love it when all the trolls come on to see me? Earlier in the week, it was Jezebel's. Today, it's trolls. You know, I've had one interesting week, folks. Should I tell you about the interesting week that I've had? I haven't told you this yet before I get more into the corona virus. I should tell you what happened to me this week. Let me see here. Okay. Do you see this right here? See, why do you have a picture of this saying Thug Life? Well, by the way, I had the inside of my old Jeep. It's a Jeep XJ. It's the last year they made it. I had it rhino-lined with this right here. So this... this keeps it from rusting down there. Anyway, why am I showing you a picture of this? This is a picture of what happened to me. This is a picture of what happened to me. On Tuesday. On Tuesday, I was robbed. On Tuesday, someone... On Tuesday, someone... I got set up. I won't tell you the whole story. But I basically got set up. And I was selling something on through an online site or whatever, and I got set up by some gangsters, probably about two or three of them, I'm guessing, and I didn't connect the dots fast enough, and what happened? Basically, they bashed my window in, grabbed a bag, and took off with it. I waited around for 2 hours for the police to show up in St. Paul. And they didn't show up. I called. A lady called. She called like twice to get him there. They didn't show up. So I just left. But anyway, so that's what they did to my window, though. They took big pieces of asphalt or whatever you call it, they took big pieces of that and they bashed my window in, broke into my Jeep, stole a bag, and then took off. So, yeah, that's what happened. And I didn't know if it was going to get worse or not, because I was from where my car was parked and everything. So it was kind of crazy. But anyway. Yeah. So, but the Lord preserved me through it and protected me through it. And the best possible outcome happened. I did mention my white privilege, but it didn't work. But a bag of what? Why do you want to know what was in the bag, Stephen? Maybe my conspiracy mind is running wild on me now, and I'm like, Stephen, why do you care what was in the bag? Stephen. I'm a Baptist preacher. Where in the world would I get a bag of money at? Where in the world would I get a bag of money at? No, actually, I'll tell you the whole story because I didn't do anything wrong anyway. What happened was, and no, it wasn't a bag of money. Because I don't have a bag of money. I'm a Baptist preacher. We never have a bag of money. There's no image on video. What do you mean there's no image? It's weird. What are you talking about, Stefan? Look, I'm actually one of those preachers that preaches the Bible. We don't have any money. They were after me Lucky Charms. No. Actually, let me tell you what happened. I was set up And I was going to sell a firearm through a website, and through meeting, and it was a tricky setup. It really was. I feel kind of dumb. I've done it like a ton of times. I've done a ton of private sales, tons of times. I mean, tons of times I've done it. And nothing bad's ever happened. You know what I mean? So, that's such a retarded thing to say, that Clorox bleach person. That's so dumb. Anyway. So I was basically going to sell this firearm. Yeah, arms list. Yeah, I use arms list a lot. And I was gonna sell this firearm, and everything pretty much checked out, you know. I mean, for the most part. But they had two or three people working it. And yeah, they got me, man. Well, they didn't get me, actually. Okay, so here's what happened. Here's why I told you the best possible outcome happened. See, they thought that they were grabbing a bag with a gun in it. Right? They thought they were grabbing a bag with a gun in it. But they were wrong. So they broke into my car. They tried to steal a gun. And so what they ended up doing was just getting a bag of parts with a few parts in it, but they didn't get the gun. They thought they took off with the gun. They bashed my window in. They thought they stole a gun, but they didn't. So I'm sure they were pretty upset when they got further down the road and figured out that that's not a gun. Nobody got hurt, thank God. I didn't have to confront anybody, thank God. Right? I didn't have to confront anybody, which was good. But I was selling the gun to make some extra money and, you know, for some bills and all that kind of good stuff. So, which I do sometimes, you know, but it was just a setup. But if it wasn't for the Lord, I'd have been in a lot of trouble. Now, they actually set somebody up the day before. The day before that, they set somebody up. But that guy pulled a gun on him. And they all ran. Anyway, so what I ended up with, yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting. That was 2 days after that witch charismatic chick wanted to put hands on me. It's been like a week of attacks for me. So Sunday night, the witchy, weird, charismatic, spooky lady wants to put hands on me, right? Tuesday. No, Steven, they didn't do it right in front of me when I was standing there. I wouldn't have stood there and let them break into my car. Did they do it right in front of you and you sat there sucking your thumb? No, it didn't work that way. Did you just watch him and were you like, dude, you're breaking my window? No. No, that's not what happened, Steven. Anyway, I'm just giving you a hard time. No. It's not the way it worked. Yeah, I'm not even going to worry about it. I don't have time to worry about it. I don't have time to worry about the parts. I just don't have any time. Anyway, so here's the lady that did that, right? On Sunday night. Tuesday, I get set up by a bunch of gangster thugs. Wednesday, the Jezebel comes flying in on my post and attacking me. Needless to say, it's been an interesting week. Sometimes people have no idea what pastors go through. But anyway. So, I'm glad I'm okay too. I thank the Lord for that. I was pretty upset. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't very happy. I wasn't very happy. Yeah, I got to be careful. I got to be careful about taking too many risks. Yeah, I got to be careful about taking too many risks. I just do. I got to be careful. You know, it taught me to pay attention a little bit more, a little bit closer. You know, I got to do that. I got to be careful. Anyway, so that's why I made this up, because this is part of the rock that they used to bash my window in. And that glass literally was everywhere. That glass was everywhere in my vehicle. I mean everywhere. So it's been an interesting week. All right, well, so what else is going on with the coronavirus? Christian megachurch cancels faith healing service. What? Well, whatever would that be the case for? Members of this prominent North California church believe they can heal the sick and raise the dead through prayer. Even so, the church is encouraging followers to wash their hands and is urging anyone who falls ill to stay home. Bethel Church is even canceling missionary trips and imploring its faith healers to stay away from local hospitals. Whoops. Right? They're supposed to stay. They're telling their, telling their people, you need to stay away from those hospitals. Breaking today. Anyway, we'll get to that in a second. Through email communication, signage, and church announcements, we are actively encouraging health practices and precautions to our whole community, said church spokesman. A 50-year-old man in Shasta County, where Redding is located, has tested positive for the coronavirus. Health officials said on Saturday last week, two people, including one person. Okay, so they're saying you people need to chill. All right, here's another one. Breaking news, Democrat California governor orders banned on gatherings of 250 people or more, including church services. Wow, really? So then you're going to listen when they tell you, when they ban? Look at this. By order of the governor, gatherings of more than 250 persons have been banned. Therefore, Grace Community Church's normal Sunday worship service has been suspended, at least through the end of the month. Wow. The ban does not affect work-related gatherings, grocery stores, or other shopping centers. Wow. So the question is, why in the world are these people so easily giving into this? I mean, that's all it took to get you out of church? How about it? What's going on in Kentucky? Kentucky governor calls on all churches statewide to cancel services. I don't believe whether you go to church during this period of time is a test of faith, Bashir said. Well, I really don't care what you think, to be honest with you, governor. I really don't care. I didn't get my faith from you. I don't take my faith from you. And I don't take my order worship from you. You don't give me permission to do squat. None of you do. The government doesn't give permission for us to worship God. You think about this for a second. I don't believe whether you go to church during this period of time is a test of faith. I believe God gives us wisdom to protect each other, and we should do that. I'm going to recommend that our churches across Kentucky cancel their services. I got to post this on Facebook right now. I'm sorry. This gets me fired up right now. It really does get me fired up when I think about it, because it's that easy.
It takes a Titan to go the extra mile. America's best truck warranty is 5 years, 100,000 miles, bumper to bumper. And it's standard on the 2019 Nissan Titan.
The governor, right? So, what do we do? Do we just automatically jump on board that and say, you know what? I guess we're done going to church now until the government gives us permission to meet again. Oh, it was that easy? I mean, it literally, it was that easy? That easy. I'm going to add to that. I don't think that's being proud. I don't think that's being arrogant. I think I gotta wonder, well, listen. What exactly do you expect from people now? You're just gonna walk away? Well, what's old Joel got to say about it? Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church cancels all worship services due to coronavirus. Well, I think the real problem I think we all know what the real problem is. And this is what we need to talk about.
And you off of the people. Well, listen, partners. We don't have a flu season. We've got a duck season, a deer season. But we don't have a flu season. Mm-hmm. And don't receive it when somebody threatens you with everybody's getting the flu. We've already had our shot. He bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. That's what we stand on. And by his stripes, we were healed. If you've already got the flu, I'm going to pray for you.
With his stripes, were healed. If you already got the flu, well, I'm going to pray for you. How does she do? How do these people talk like that? Oh, my goodness. And people actually still listen to them. This is the greatest ever.
Right now, Father, I pray for every person that has symptoms of flu. I'm asking you, Lord, by your supernatural power, to heal them now from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Flu, I bind you off.
Oh, I love it.
Flu, I bind you off of. Flu, I bind you off of the people. Your feet. Flu, I bind you off of the people in the night.
Flu binders are here. Hey, look. Look, flu. All you got to do. All you got to do. Is just get the flu binding done with. Okay, so the gov here. I don't believe it's a test of your faith. Well, listen, Gov. Listen, Gov. All right, here's what Joel says. After Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner issued a health emergency on Wednesday for the city of Houston and Harris County following the area's first possible non-travel-related coronavirus case, the church decided to take safety precautions to help decrease the virus spread of non-affected people. In an email alert to members, Lakewood's church said, in consideration of today's public health emergency declaration, on the COVID-19 by Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner, along with the fact that Lakewood draws such large numbers of international visitors each week, Lakewood leadership has decided not to hold public services this weekend. While we apologize for any inconvenience this causes to our members and visitors, we feel that this move is necessary to ensure the well-being of all the citizens of this great city, especially the most vulnerable among us, the church added. Although all Saturday and Sunday services are being canceled, Lakewood said it will broadcast its services online. The church said staff will be monitoring the situation week by week and will update the members. Well, Joel says, no way, man. That's what. All right. Let me show you what Spurgeon did. Spurgeon, the cholera outbreak of 1854. Now, I don't really understand what exactly cholera is. It's an infectious disease that causes severe watery diarrhea, which can lead to dehydration, even death if untreated. It's caused by eating food or drinking water contaminated with bacterium called Vibrio cholera. It was very acute. Made people very sick. Okay. So, as reports of the coronavirus spread around the world, pastors and church leaders are discussing how they should respond to the outbreak. Throughout church history, many pastors have had to think through similar challenges. As a young village preacher, Charles Spurgeon admired the Puritan ministers who stayed behind to care for the sick and dying during the Great Plague of London in 1665. Now in the fall of 1854, the newly called pastor of the New Park Street Chapel in London found himself pastoring his congregation amid a major cholera outbreak in the Broad Street neighborhood just across the river. How did Spurgeon respond? During the epidemic of chosen cholera, though I had many engagements in this country, I gave them up that I might remain in London to visit the sick and the dying. I felt that it was my duty to be on the spot in such a time of disease and death and sorrow. Spurgeon's popularity had grown throughout the Fenland villages outside of Cambridge during his pastorate at Waterbeach. Even after arriving in London, he continued to be invited to preach in those villages during the week. But during the outbreak, Spurgeon recognized his responsibility to be present with those who were sick and dying. This was not a time to be an itinerant preacher. This was a time to focus on caring for his church and the community in which he lived. He would not outsource this task to his deacons and other church leaders. The outbreak occurred, he says, adjust as needed, but continue meeting if possible. The Broad Street cholera outbreak occurred in August and September of that year, and its effects would continue to be felt in weeks and months following. The neighborhood where Spurgeon's church met was not quarantined, so they were able to continue meeting throughout those months. Interestingly, no record of the sermons Spurgeon preached during those days remained. Perhaps the outbreak forced the congregation to adjust some of their previous practices, including transcriptions of sermons. Additionally, Spurgeon was likely too busy in those days to edit sermons. However, we know the congregation continued meeting during those days because the church's minute books contained records of congressional meetings carried on throughout the fall. In these books, amid all the pastoral challenges of the outbreak, Spurgeon said the deacons continued to receive new members, pursue inactive members, observe the Lord's Supper, and practice all other normal activities. Not only that, but in retrospect, it was particularly during this time when news of death raged all around the city that Spurgeon found Londoners more receptive to the gospel. He visited the sick also. In other words, not only did Spurgeon gather his church amid the outbreak, but he saw in these gatherings a powerful opportunity for the gospel and proclaim the gospel boldly. Church, but he also himself available throughout the week, working tirelessly to visit the sick and grief-stricken. In the year 1854, when I had scarcely been in London 12 months, the neighborhood in which I labored was visited by the Asiatic cholera, and my congregation suffered from its inroads. Family after family summoned me to the bedside of the smitten, and almost every day I was called to visit the grave. In these visits, Spurgeon prayed in with the sick and grieving and pointed them to the hope of the gospel. But more than just bringing the gospel content, his presence communicated something of God's comfort to his people. Though these visits were often fearful and full of grief, there were also glorious occasions of faith and joy. I went home and was soon called away again, that time to see a young woman. She was also in the last extremity, but it was fair, fair sight. She was singing, though she knew she was dying, and talking to those around about her, telling her brothers and sisters to follow her to heaven, bidding goodbye to her father, and all the while smiling as if it had been her marriage day. She was happy and blessed. be open to evangelistic opportunities all day and sometimes all night long. I went about from house to house and saw men and women dying, and oh, how glad they were to see my face. When many were afraid to enter their houses lest they should catch the deadly diseases, we who had no fear about such things found ourselves most gladly listened to when we spoke of Christ and of the things divine. On occasion at 3 a.m, Spurgeon was summoned to visit a dying man. This was not a Christian, but someone who had opposed him. That man in his lifetime had been wont to jeer at me. In strong language, he had often denounced me as a hypocrite. Yet he was no sooner smitten by the darts of death than he sought my presence and counsel, no doubt feeling in his heart that I was a servant of God, though he did not care to own it with his lips. Spurgeon went right away. By the time he arrived, there was little he could do. I stood by his side and spoke to him, but he gave me no answer. I spoke again, but the only consciousness he had was foreboding of terror mingled with stupor of approaching death. Soon even that was gone, for sense had fled, and I stood there a few minutes sighing with the poor woman who had watched over him and altogether hopeless about his soul. Not every result was in dramatic conversions. And he says, entrust your life to God. God never promised us that we wouldn't die. At first, I gave myself up with youthful ardor to the visitation of the sick and was sent from all corners of the district by persons of all ranks and religions. But soon, I became weary in body and sick at heart. My friends seemed falling on one by one, and I felt or fancied that I was sickening like those around me. A little more work and weeping would have laid me low among the rest. I felt that my burden was heavier than I could bear, and I was ready to sink under it. I was returning mournfully home from a funeral when, as God would have it, my curiosity led me to read a paper which was wafered up in a shoemaker's window in the Great Dover Road. It did not look like a trade announcement, nor was it, for it bore in a good bold handwriting these words, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh to thy dwelling." The effect on my heart was immediate. Faith appropriated the passage as her own. I felt secure, refreshed, girt with immortality. I went up on my visitation and of the dying in a calm and peaceful spirit. I felt no fear of evil, and I have suffered no harm. The providence which moved the tradesman to place those verses in his window, I gratefully acknowledge. In the remembrance of his marvelous power, I adore the Lord my God. You know, the core of the ministry remains, right? Preach the gospel. You know, we must be faithful during all this. Hey, we're going out preaching in downtown Minneapolis. We're going there, our St. Paul. We were going to go there, or we might go to Minneapolis. I don't know, wherever there's people at, that's where we're going. Because we said that we were going to go preaching on Sunday, on Saturday, and they canceled all the events on Saturday, but we're going anyway. We're going to go find those drunks out there. We're going to go, by God's grace, preach the gospel to those drunks out there, and we're going to, and to those lost sinners out there. And in a time of fearfulness, we're going to remain faithful to the Lord. And if God takes us home, then blessed be the name of the Lord. But God is the one that is the preserver of life, not Donald Trump, not hand sanitizer. I'm not saying don't use it. Not any of those things. It is the Lord our God. And though we may have fear and we may have doubts, we may have all these things, we still have the Lord, and he's still on the throne. And either we by faith believe what he says, or we don't. Amen. That's what it comes down to. We either believe God or we don't. Amen. And we show that faith in many ways. We may not always feel that faith. We may feel fear in our hearts. But you know what? We show our faith by our works. That's how men see our faith. And we show our faith in the Lord by being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's how. It's proven out in us. We're not proving to God we're saved. I'm not talking about that. What I'm saying is it is proven. What I do for the Lord, I don't even know sometimes how I get up and do it. Do you know how absolutely discouraged I was when I got robbed? I didn't want to do anything. I mean, I was discouraged by it. I was just down by it. And when I hear all this news and I hear all these other things and I think about all the challenges that I have and all these things, I get discouraged sometimes thinking about that. But God breathes endurance in life. And amidst all the fears, there's faith. I thought you'd find that interesting, though. I thought that would be interesting from Spurgeon to bring that up. I hope you were encouraged by that. And I hope pastors are encouraged by that. Amen? I hope they are. You know, I mean, we should be able, we should trust the Lord through these things. You know, we should not be given over to fear. I'm not saying that we should be reckless either. I'm not saying that we should be foolish either. I'm not saying that we should be any of those things. I don't think we should be. I think we should be wise. But at the same time, I think we should we got to keep doing what we're doing. I don't think any of us know what we're going to do, right? I don't think any of us do. And I'm not trying to be presumptuous, and I'm not trying to be arrogant, because tragedy can hit. Things can happen, sadness and sorrow and all the, I get all that. But at the same time, God's still on the throne. He's still the same God. You know, he's still the same God. And here's the difference. There's a difference. There's a difference in the government suggesting that you don't meet. Okay, I get it. That's a suggestion. An order? Not so much. Me obeying that order? Not so much. Our church voting and saying, you know what, there's sickness in the congregation. We want to be careful with this. So maybe we should not meet for a few weeks or something like that. That would be different if the church voted on something like that and decided that. Right? Look at this. Somebody is selling a bottle of that for $150. That is so stupid. Look at this. The honey is cheaper than the hand sanitizer. Look. Anyway. Again, I'm not saying that there's good that we should walk around in arrogance. I'm not saying that. But I will say this. We've gotten mighty soft as Americans today. We've gotten mighty soft. And, you know, I'm not saying that we got it all figured out and that, you know, that I mean, Spurgeon was a man too. He's a man that suffered depression. He was a man that suffered depression. So I understand when he said that he got anxiety. He's like, oh my goodness, what am I doing? Because I know what that's like, because I get that. I understand that. I get that whole, but it's like the cholera breakout. It's not new. Right? It isn't new. It isn't. And, you know, you've got all these governments asking churches to, you know, to stop because of the coronavirus. You know, that we should stop services and everything else. I guess I don't buy that, because I would think, spiritually speaking, I would think that we would need more of people of God meeting. Right? I would think that we would need more. Here's another article. I think this is funny. I think we should talk about this real quick. This is along the same lines. Faith healing. Bethel Redding Church closes because of coronavirus. We talked about that, but check this out. He said this: I refuse to create a theology that allows for sickness. But they have one. Why would they need that, right? If they're faith healers, why would they cancel that? So you see, what you see here, look at this, Mormons to cancel. I mean, don't you find it odd that all these people are willing just to cancel everything? That easily? Mormons.
tolerance is the ability to live with people whose opinions...
Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints headquartered in Salt Lake City, has announced the closure of all wards that serve its 16 million members. Half of Mormons live in the United States, and LDS is the fourth largest religious organization in the country. None will be meeting for worship this Sunday. Well, there's one good thing about that. Isn't there now? The devils won't be meeting. That's one good thing. The devils won't be meeting all together. They'll all be separated. Well, that won't be a bad thing. It reads, as promised in our letter, March 11th, 2020, we continue to monitor the changing conditions related to the coronavirus throughout the world. We have considered the counsel of the local church leaders, government officials, and medical professionals and have sought the Lord's guidance. Yeah, right. What Lord? You don't even have the Lord. Somebody asked the question, yes, we need more meetings, but what if you get elderly people in your family with compromised immune systems in your house? I can't afford to take that risk. Sarah, I'm not telling you to take that risk. I believe in liberty of conscience. If there's somebody in our church that is concerned about meeting because they might contract something, then I would tell them to stay home, and I would be completely fine with that, and I would not be offended by that at all. Right? I have nothing against somebody that wishes to stay home. I have absolutely nothing against that at all. If somebody decides that they're going to stay home, then that's up to them. But I'm not going to cancel it for, we're not going to cancel it for everybody. I mean, I understand my dad's 76 years old. I have a concern. But if my dad's going to walk out and he goes to work every day and he does the other things, then I don't see how church is that much more dangerous for him. I just don't. I don't see how it is. I don't see how people, unless everybody's staying home for the rest of their life and nobody's going anywhere, I don't see how church is that much more dangerous than work or anywhere else, to be honest with you. Right? I don't see how it is. They continue beginning immediately. All public gatherings of church members are being temporarily suspended worldwide. Can you believe somebody has that kind of power? All meetings are suspended. All public gatherings. The LDS are known for their prepper mentality and remain one of the most vigilant preparedness organizations in the world. The Organization Relief Society instructs members to have 72-hour food storage for short-term emergencies and a 3-month food storage for long-lasting emergencies. Well, it's a great idea. Many Mormon families have more than that, and many wards have canneries to assist in helping Mormons. Can their home produce? Additionally, the LDS have placed food deposits at strategic points spread between wards to assist them in the case of a catastrophic food shortage. Doctrines and Covenants, section 109. Verse 8 says, organize yourselves, prepare every needful thing. The Doctrine and Covenant Student Manual in section 38, if you are prepared, you shall not fear. There you go. If ye are prepared, you shall not fear. Right? So, I don't think it should be the government's responsibility to tell people that they ought to. I don't think it's the government's duty to tell people what they ought to do. My friend Tino here says, if there was a real serious imminent threat, a church gathering would be wisely treated like any other gathering. If dozens of people in church were getting the flu, the coronavirus, or whatever, I'd avoid it. Otherwise, life goes on. There have been 7 people in my state who have had the coronavirus, none within a half hour of me. Why would or should I keep that keep me out of church? There are probably always 7 people sick something given Sunday, and that doesn't keep me out of church. Amen. I agree. I mean, again, we're going to use logic. You understand what I mean? I mean, we're going to use logic. We're not going to be foolish. Let's see what the Texas governor says here.
Go through the proper screening. We want to make sure that we do all we can to prevent this vulnerable senior population or others in hospitals from being contracted with COVID-19. I'm also directing state agencies to restrict visitation at prisons, jails, and juvenile justice facilities. My staff remains in constant contact with all of those facilities as they work on establishing best practices protocols. I'm also directing state agencies to take any action necessary to facilitate telemedicine. In addition, I'm directing state agencies to provide flexible work and telework policies to employees to give them the ability to care for their families while ensuring the state government continues to function at full capacity and provide all necessary services. This means, in addition, that anybody who thinks or feels or believes that they are ill in any way, they need to stay home and work from home. You may have the flu, you may have some other infectious disease, or you may have COVID-19. We don't need people who are sick coming into work. Now, one byproduct of having more people work from home, whether it be people who are working or whether it be students who may be in a school that would be temporarily closed or college or university, that will increase demands upon the internet bandwidth. With this increase of work, we need to be able to make sure that the increase in bandwidth usage is met. As a result, in typical Texas fashion, the private sector is stepping up. I applaud what AT&T just announced, that they are waiving internet data usages for any customer who does not have unlimited home internet access. Now, the state of Texas will continue to take preventative measures and work with our federal and local partners to contain this virus and to keep Texans safe. During this time, we need all Texans to do their part to help the state respond to this situation. That means doing things like being extra vigilant about washing your hands, disinfecting frequent touches, avoid shaking hands, and staying at home if you're feeling sick. And I want to be clear, there's absolutely no need to go out and stockpile supplies. This isn't a type of situation like what we see with an oncoming hurricane where you may be without supplies or you may need to stock up on wood or water, whatever the case may be. There's no need to stock up on water, no need to stock up on these other supplies. There will be plenty available. For those who may be worried about seeing empty shelves at the grocery stores, these shelves will be replenished and people will have access to the supplies they need. Texas is in the best position to handle a situation like this. We've been working with grocers and retailers, and Texans must remain calm and understand that hoarding is neither necessary nor productive. We are prepared with the goods and supplies we need. I want to assure the people of Texas that we're going to make it through this. We've been through situations like this before. We made it through SARS. We made it through Ebola. We made it through H1N1. And we're going to make it through this together as well. Last is to give you a template for exactly the positive outcomes that we are capable of achieving. If you'll remember, on February the 7th, Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio received 90 repatriations of American citizens from Hubei Province in China. Among those 90, one of the people tested positive but has since been cleared. Importantly, all 90 of those people have now returned home. This is not a death sentence we're dealing with here. This is a typical outcome that we expect to see. Working together, I know that we can do it. Now, the leader of this effort in the state is the commissioner for DSHS, Dr. Hellerstedt, who I will now call upon to make some remarks.
Thank you, Governor Abbott. I'd really like to underscore the fact that Texas is prepared for this. Texas prepares.
I really like that Texas governor, the way he talks anyway. You know, I think that he's got a good head on his shoulders as far as that goes. But I like Texas anyway. So it's Texas. What do you say? They have their own country. I like what Reg Kelly said here. Yes, we will be having church Sunday. 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's one thing to be careful, cautious, and proactive, but to be driven by fear is inexcusable. Use reasonable care for your family, but never let fear be the driving force of your life. Be led by faith and not fear. Amen. Yeah, Mike, I don't know about that. I'm just saying. I don't know about that, Mike. I'm sorry. Maybe he is that way, but for the most part, he seems to be a pretty straight shooter. But again, I don't know. But I like the way he explained that. I think it was very clear. I think he's a good communicator when it comes to that, but you would know more about that being in Texas than I would. Yep, I love Brother Reg. He had it right. A little different than, you know, a little bit different than this right here.
Your feet. Flu, I bind you off. Flu, I bind you off. Feet. Flu, I bind you off.
That's right. It's a little different than that, ain't it? Flu, I bind you. Tell you what, I bind you, flu, right now, binding you up. I wonder why the coronavirus can't be bound like the flu could. What do you suppose the reason for that is? Is there something different about that? Let's see if there's any more on that. Oh, well, we talked about this last week, but I think we should talk about it again in light of this being like right here. Here's these charismatics. Now, I think from everything I've heard that, what is it, colloidal silver or whatever, that it is good for you. It is a good thing. Right? So I get that. But it couldn't happen to a more deserving person. The Missouri Attorney General has filed a suit against doomsday prophet, rapist, and tax evader Jim Baker for making his snake oil cure all claims that we've been complaining about at Pulpit and Pen for years. We've written about Baker's venereal disease, AIDS, and coronavirus cure all here. And here, that's for starters, yeah. Most recently, the New York Attorney General told him to knock it off, and now the state of Missouri is suing him. According to Ozarks First, Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt announced on March 10th his office has filed a lawsuit against Jim Baker and Morningside Church Production for misrepresenting about the effectiveness of Silver Solution. Let's see. So, anyway, they're all trying to make money. Somebody asked me, I've actually been a while since I came here. Do you think this virus is part of the pestilence at the right or the pale? Well, here's what I would say to you. Not any more than the cholera outbreak was of 1854 that Spurgeon went through. Right? Probably not any different than that. It's just we have these devices now that tell us when a bat farts. When a bat farts, we find out about it. That's what happens. I mean, if a bat poops in the woods 6 miles away, you're going to hear about it. Right? I mean, with pinpoint accuracy, you're going to hear about it right away. So now when somebody gets sick, when somebody tests positive, we're going to hear about it. And we're going to hear about it everywhere. Well, the same thing happened with the cholera outbreak, only we didn't have things to... It was a newspaper. It slowed it down. Not everybody read. Not all this stuff happened. Pastor, check out Disney's TV show, The Owl. Where you been, Andrew? I haven't seen you, Puckawatowicz, whatever your name is. Check out Disney's TV show, The Owl House. Oh, I'll have to look into that. I mean, when we find out when Aunt B's cousin... from across the sea or Prince Harry's nephew gets the disease, we're going to hear about it from everywhere. That's just what happens. We hear about it in great detail everywhere around the world. I mean, that's just the way it goes. And it doesn't stop, right? Wow. Someone just said they're foreign missionaries and their family doesn't want them to come and see them when they come to the States. Jenna said, should a woman ever be in college, living with her parents or married with a husband? No, I don't believe she should be. I don't see the point. What's the point? You know, what's the point? My daughters are being raised to be wives. That's what they're being raised to be. And then for me to take care of them until they are. So I don't believe there's a purpose for a woman to go to college and go through all that. I don't believe so. I believe a man is supposed to take care of them. So I don't believe there's really a reason to do that. But, so I don't see the purpose of it. to be honest with you. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So anyway, so I don't see the purpose of it. Wonder if people were thinking cholera outbreak in the 1800s was wormwood. They probably were. The Puritans thought that it was the end of the world. In 1666, they thought it was the end of the world. The Waldensians obviously thought the Pope was Antichrist and they were in the tribulation. I mean, you know what they were going through. I believe that's what they thought too. I want to leave so badly, but my parents won't ever see the point. What am I going to do about money since they don't believe in taking care of your daughters until marriage? Well, you can't help it. Jenna, you're going to have to continue to do what you have to do until God brings a husband along for you. There's nothing you can do. See, sin changes the order. Sin perverts the order. When sin comes in, you know, then it affects that. So there's nothing that you can do about that, but continue to be faithful to the Lord. And trust God through it. And that's all you can do. You just have to continue. You're going to have to work and you're going to have to go to school and do what your parents have for you right now. You're going to have to. Until God sends a husband along for you, a godly man to take care of you and to marry you and to, you know, there's, if you don't have somebody to take care of you, if there isn't a husband to take care of you or a father to take care of you, then you really don't have a choice. You know what I mean? So that's not your fault though. You know. Okay, you have another question? Go ahead. I would like to hear more about Harry and Meghan. I wouldn't. Oh, let's see. Who else is on here? In other words, just raise my own daughters to be wives, right? Yes. Yes, exactly. That's exactly what they're to be raised to be. That's what God made them to be. You know, that's what the Lord made them to be. No, you just have to talk to him, Jen, and tell him that you don't want to go or that you're not celebrating it. You don't need to pick a fight with him or, you know, anything. It's just you just don't believe and you don't agree with. You don't believe in what they do and you don't agree with it. You know, and that's kind of where you, you know, it's kind of how you deal with it. That's about all you can do. All right, let's see. Who else is on here? Let's see. I believe, if I understand you right, the rhythmic method, is that natural family planning? Is that what that is? I think that's what that is. Let me look that up. Yep. That's natural family planning. I don't believe it's biblical, and here's why. The only time of withholding the Bible talks about, if you look at this, First Corinthians 7:5. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time. What's the purpose, though? That you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Incontinency. Which is the want of restraint of passions or appetites, free or uncontrolled indulgence of passions or appetites, want of restraints of the sexual appetite, free of illegal indulgence of lust, lewdness. Satan will use that to tempt you. So what I believe is, I don't believe it's the biblical. I don't believe it's biblical. I don't see any form of birth control in the Bible. I believe that it shows that God opens and closes the womb. And it is God that is to be in that is control of life. Whether you are with child or not. So I would say no. I don't believe that's biblical, because the Bible here tells us that it's a defrauding of one another to do that, when there's a desire to do that. And then picking these times so then you won't procreate, isn't that like a lack of faith in saying that we don't believe God? It's like saying that, well, I don't trust God, you know, to take care of us, or to know how many children I need or what I can handle. You know how many women died in childbirth over the years, or how many babies died, you know? But those women were faithful, you know, they just continued to go on. So I don't believe that authorized Mike asks a question. How would you argue with someone that believes because of Adam's sin nature, an unborn baby can go to hell? Well, here's how I argue that. The difference in knowing between good and evil, okay? I think it's this one. Let me see. Okay. Here is the knowledge of good and evil, right? Do you see this? And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life, also the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in that day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. All right? Look at this one. Look at Deuteronomy 1:39. Moreover, your little ones, which you said should be a prey, and your children, when in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. What is he talking about? He's talking about the promised land, which is the Christian life, by the way. It's not heaven, it's the Christian life. So it's kind of a covering of, but it's only saved people go into the promised land, right? Only saved people go into the promised land. Now here's the picture right there. these people, these children, know not between good and evil. They don't know the difference. They don't have that understanding. So, because of that, God doesn't charge them with that. They don't know the difference. And there's other examples in the Bible of that very thing. I think it's in Romans. You know, you can look at it, the Bible. David talks about... here's another principle. See. Oh, I gotta find it. Let's see. See if I can find it here. Let's see. When David's son died. Let's see. I can't remember what verse that is. Here it is. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is it that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. See that? I shall go to him. But he shall not return to me. I shall go to him. There you go. See how that works? See the promise of God there? Well, that baby was conceived in fornication. Surely. That baby must go to hell, right? If any baby would. Nope. I got another one for you. First Kings 14. And all Israel, right? The baby, his baby was going to die. His child was going to die. And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him. For he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave. Because in him there is found some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. See that? What shall become of the child? God took the child. See that? So Yeah, I don't believe that there's any scripture to teach that babies go to hell. I don't believe there's anything like that. You know, yeah, that's ridiculous. I can't believe some Calvinists actually believe that nonsense. Unbelievable. You'd expect it out of Catholics, but not out of Calvinists. But whatever. Anyway, so praise the Lord for that. Let's see. Well, I guess I'm about ready to get out of here. I've been on for 2 hours here. Probably getting ready to take off here in a minute.
Your feet. Flu, I bind you. Your feet. Flu, I bind you. Flu, I bind you. Flu, I bind you off of their feet. Flu, I bind you off of the people in the feet. Flu, I bind you off of the people in the name of.
Telling you right now, she's done bound all of it off of you. You ain't gonna get nothing now. Amen. Well, there we go, kids. Let's see. Anybody have any more questions before we take off here? Let's see here. Well, if they don't shut the country down, I'll go on vacation. Maybe I'll get out to see some folks, right? Amen. We'll see. Pastor, what would you suppose would predispose children to possession, leading to extreme disability? I'm not sure. How does Francis Chan end up in related videos? Because Francis Chan is now a charismatic, healing people. He does healing video. He has healing things now. He said he healed a bunch of people in Africa or something like that. No, I have to send those books out today. I got to get them all sent out. I have not had a chance to send anything out. After I got robbed, I was just like messed up trying to figure out everything and keep everything. And it took my whole day and I just haven't been able to get it back. But I have them over there. They're all sitting in a box and I got to put them all together and get them shipped out here today. I'm going to have my wife help me today. But so they'll go out today sometime. What about the kids that were making fun of Elijah? Well, I don't think that they were little kids, probably. But let's see. Well, it does say little children. And he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going his way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said, "Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head." And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. Yeah, they were little children, it says. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tare 42 children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel. I have no idea. But I can tell you one thing. The Bible says there is a sin unto death for Christians. So there's a good chance that they were. So anyway, you know, they could have been Christians. So I don't know. Yeah, I know, Lisa. I got to. I know. I got to be careful and be wise. I certainly do. I need to be careful and be wise. Anyway, well, God bless you all. And God bless you all, and we will certainly see you, Lord willing, anyway, on, oh, let's see, probably Monday, obviously. Before that, I'll be preaching twice on Sunday, only twice this Sunday, because we're going to have a time of prayer at church, so prayer and hymns. So we'll be praying. And then Pastor Mike is coming pretty soon. Remember, Pastor Mike will be here. We'll have him live March 23rd, 24th, and 25th. So look forward to that as well. You pray for us as we're out evangelizing tomorrow. Pray for our safety. Pray that folks would hear the gospel, and that the Lord be honored and glorified by everything. So, anyway, all right, everybody. We'll talk with you on Monday.